Okay, so we had mentioned that I'd like to start format of discussing during this shiur halacha, something that somehow ties into the parashas of Shavua. And so this is the first week, is starting with Parasha Shmos, Sefer Shmos, Parasha Shmos, and we don't have to go past the first word. But there are really two aspects to it. I mean, first of all, as I said, the parasha starts off with the whole Sefer starts with Ve'elish Mos Bnei Yisrael. So right there, that's an easy one. But besides, we know that we're leading up to the, even though we're starting with the Shibud, but we're already like leading up to the Geula. And we know that one of the Sibas of the Geula was that during the Shibud, during the entire time they were in Mitzrayim, despite many other things that unfortunately went wrong, in terms of their avoda of the dor, but they had the schus that loshinu es shmam, loshinu es lashonim, loshinu es malbushim. They didn't change their names, they didn't change their mode of dress, and they didn't change the way they spoke, their language. So one of them was shmam. That was a big schus for them. So it's an appropriate topic to talk about now, the inyan of shemus. There's really a lot to talk about in this, and we'll see if we can capture some of the main topics. First of all, the inyan of a name is phenomenally significant in Torah, both in halacha and in agada or whatever, Kabbalah and inyanim, etc. In halacha, whenever it's an inyan of writing a shtar, whether it's a shtar mamun, which includes a ksuba, or a shtar isav heter, which probably the only one that's knowing in these times is a get, right? The people don't usually get married by a shtar, even though the Mishnah says you can do it, but I haven't heard of anyone that did that. But the only way for a person to divorce his wife, if that becomes the unfortunate reality or necessity, is with a shtar, with a get. And the writing the names of the isha and the isha and the get is something of great significance. That's one of the, one of the main things that the Masarid Gittin have to work on in any get. Assuming that both parties are cooperative in the process, and there's no question of kfir or anything. So the main thing to don is how to write the get. How to write the names. Almost everything else is standard. I mean, the date there are only a certain limited number of dates, and that's done. I mean, the place, okay. I mean, in Chalami, if they just showed up in a new place, that would be a big challenge if it could be done at all. But getting written in places where, and even there, it's a matter of name. It's not. It's the name of the place. It's very significant. But the names of the people is the main thing that the Masarid Gittin have to work on to make sure they get it straight, and they get it proper, and the person and the father, etc. So names have. And then names are used. They're used by Kriyas HaTorah, and they're used by other areas. Even though it's like less significance if you didn't call a person by his name to Kriyas HaTorah, it's also you can get an aliyah. I remember I once was in Sifta Tiferes Yerushalayim when Ramesh Zatzal, Ramesh Feinstein was there. It was his yeshiva. And they called. It was a Monday or Thursday morning. And they called him up for an aliyah. He says, "Just say Yamod Moreinu Rabbeinu," and that's all I had to say. They say you don't have to use a name there. If you use a name at all, you could just beckon the person also. But Lamaisa, a name has a very high standing, and also in Inyanim, there are a lot of Inyanim and Kabbalistic Inyanim having to do with names, choosing a name, giving a name, changing or not changing a name. Etc. And we have a lot of chashivas in our religion to names. As much as we find that nicknames are used, it's very common that even for gedolim, people of stature, but they are very often called by nicknames. And many of the gedolim were called by like a Yiddish nickname rather than their formal Hebrew name. But at the same time, the formal name is something of a lot of chashivas. Now, it's brought. It's brought from the Arizal. I saw this in the Sefer Kesher Shem Tov, but this is a is a well-known thing. It's well known that when a couple gives a name to a baby, to a new child, there's an inyan of nevuah involved. So the Rizal says that the name Hashem Shekaron LaAv VeImo Beis Shenimol Hu Nichtav LaMala BeKisei HaKavod V'Kach Hu Nichtav LaMala. Meaning it's there, not that, you know, Hashem listens to what the father says and says, okay, and he tells the malachim, okay, write it in. It's there already. I mean, the name that the father chooses, a name which is already engraved, according to the Rizal, is engraved in the Kisei HaKavod, the Ein HaDavar Bakroi. It's not by chance that he decides on whatever name he decides. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mazmin Osu Hashem B'Pi Aviv Imo Shikru Uchen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu presents that name to the couple to give that to the child. And he says elsewhere, he says that the name that the name HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mason B'Piv Muchrach El HaNeshama Hahi. So these are Inyanim there beyond us and to understand exactly, but this is something that's basic belief and basic philosophy in our lives. So names are definitely something of a lot of chashivas. Now, so the first shaila is in terms of a lot of what we're going to talk about is minhug, in this case more than halacha. But there's an overlap, and we'll see that some of the minhagim, though, even if they're minhagim, are very, very strong minhagim. The first line I'm talking about is who chooses the name, meaning you have a father and a mother that had a new baby. So whose schus is it to pick a name if they each have a preference? So who gets to choose? So here there's a very defined difference between the minhag of Ashkenazim, the common minhag of Ashkenazim, and what seems to be the common minhag of the Sephardim. In the Ashkenazic world, the minhag is that the first baby is the schus of the mother. The mother has a right to pick the name for the first baby, or I should say, really, the first naming, meaning that Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva that let's say there are twins are born, say two boys, twin boys are born, they're born, you know, those are the older one, the bris of the older one is delayed, so that the one who was born second is nimol earlier, and the minig is that the name is given by a boy, the name is given by the bris mila. So Rav Moshe says that the mother would be the one having the schus to name the second one because he's being named first. Now, it doesn't make a difference that he wasn't born first. It goes by who's being named first. Or for that matter, I mean, the way it works, you know, again, by Ashkenazim, is the mother has the schus for the first baby, the father for the second, the mother for the third. So here too, even if it wasn't the first two baby, let's say it was, you know, whatever, it's number three or number four, or number four, whatever the number is, the point is that it's not necessarily number three baby goes to whoever, and it goes to the one who's up, and then number four to the next one, but whoever gives the name first. This is what Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva. And Lachara, according to that, he speaks about two boys, but Lachara, let's say there's a boy and a girl twins, and then it's very common that the girl's going to be named before the boy, because the boy, again, you're waiting for the bris, and it's going to be at least a week, at least, you know, till eighth day before you can do the bris, even if it's on time, and whereas the girl, very likely, you'll name before. There's Shaila, or there's a discussion, again, I don't know if it's a Shaila in Halacha, but a discussion, when is the appropriate time to give a name to a girl? Some say the very first Kriya Satara. The Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva on this where he brings down different minhagim about when to give the name for a girl. Some say the very first Kriya Satara in order to be Moshech already, the Kedushas Yisrael on her, which comes to the name. Some say wait for the first Shabbos, which is a common way of doing it. And then there's a third minhag. But Al Kapanim, even if you're waiting for Shabbos, it's very light, very often going to be before the boy's bris. And So the girl might be younger, the boy might have been the older of the two twins, but the girl will be named first. So Lachar, according to what Ramesh is saying, it would be the mother's schus. Let's say again, it's the first two children. It would be the mother's schus to name the girl and the father to name the boy. Now this type of minug is something which is there's flexibility in it. It doesn't have to be this way. Meaning, if they both agree that the other one should choose the name, then that would be fine. Let's say, for example, the mother had someone that she wanted to name after, a boy after, and the father dafka named a girl after, and it turns out the girl's being named first. It's okay, so they can, you know, they can allow the father to name the first one, the mother to say. That would not be considered as far as I understand, that would not be considered a breach or a you know a, anything going against minhag. Although I will mention, it's brought in some svarim, the jumping a little to the other minhag of giving the father giving the first name, which the svarim follow. So it's brought, I think, from the Ben Ishchai and maybe others, could be he's bringing from others before him, that we know. But when Aaron HaKohen married Elisheva Bas Aminadav, and the first two children were Nadav and Avihu. Second one Avihu. So Nadav, he says, Lechara came from Aminadav. It was a shortened version of named after her father. Seemingly, like she gave the first name. And the second, Avihu, is my father. This is what they say. And unfortunately, it was terrible. It was a tragic outcome. They both, Nadav and Avihu, died, a tragic death. So this is what the Gedolei Sfarad bring this, that they attribute it to the fact that there was a breach in the... in the minhag.
What's the
makar
of the name? Where
did
it start?
What is that?
What's the
makar
of the whole name?
Well, the earliest I saw it in Rishonim, but I don't know, the Leket Yosher, who is a Talmud of the Truma Sedeshin, he says in the name of the Truma Sedeshin that the father has a schus for the first child. And there's a tshuva brought down from the Rishonim that when the Ramban had a son named Reb Shlomo, who married a daughter of Rabbeinu Yonah. So the Ramban and Rabbeinu Yonah, two of the great Rishonim, were Bechutanim. And when while they were expecting their first child, Rabbeinu Yonah was Nifter. And when the baby was born, was a boy. The first child was a boy. And the Ramban said, his brother Ramban said that really the and this is already touching on the next thing about giving names for people that are living, but we'll get to that. So, but the Ramban said, really, the baby should be named Moshe, which is my name because it's my son's son. But I feel that no, because Rabbeinu Yonah was Nifter, I want you to give the name after him. Name the baby Yonah, which is based on the mother's side, because he had Hashemish. But so I'm saying we see in Rishonim the idea of, but so far those Rishonim both going with the side that the father does it. I don't know. More than that, some of it could be traced back to early sources, but I don't have it in front of me. Much before that.
Ashkenaz, did I hear or learn somewhere that it's sourced in the act, or it's related to the idea that a woman leaves her family?
That's one of the timing that's given. That since she left her family, she gives, so in order to give her like a kesher, let her pick a name, and she'll probably pick a family name to give her more of a kesher back to her family. That's a svara that's given.
Svara.
Yeah, just a svara. So a couple of svaras, similar svaras, why she went through a lot. The woman goes through a lot in carrying the baby and delivery, and even though that's every time, but the first time, at least give her this list. Lamaisa, there is a remez though. Again, going back to the minhag Ashkenaz, there's a remez. It's not this week's parsha, but it's by Moshe Rabbeinu's children. When in Parashas Yisro, when it talks about Moshe, at the beginning of the parasha, it says that Tzipora came with Ve'esh Shnei Boneha, Asher Shem Ho Echad Gershom, Vashem Ho Echad Eliezer, right? So the Pasuk, this is brought in the Sefer Nachal Kidumim for the Chidah, B'Shem Rabbeinu Ephraim, for the Rishonim, that the words Asher Shem Ho Echad is Rosh Yateva's Isha. Asher Shem Ho Echad. Isha. Then the Isha named the first one. Asher Shem Echad, Gershom. And Isha, who's an Isha? Tzipor, she named the first one.
Wasn't
it
Moshe being a Ger?
It was about Mekiger HaYisi Rez Nachri. I don't say that in the Pasuk. But I guess she named. Yeah, because at first when I saw this, I was thinking maybe to answer, there's a famous kash from the Meshech Chachma, that why did Moshe Rabbeinu name his first son Gershom? Ger Hayisi, of his Ger, went to Midian, and then his second son Elokei Avi BeEzri, if I got saved Mecher Paro, Eliezer, Hashem saved me Mecher Paro. That happened earlier. First, he names Ger Hayisi Rezachria, and then Eliezer Meshach Chachma talks about this. So I thought, oh, maybe it's a pshat because she named the first child, but it doesn't really answer the kasha because she still named it for Moshe Rabbeinu's life, so it doesn't really answer that kasha. Okay, Al Kopanim. So there's a remez to the idea of the woman naming the first child, but. This is minhagim. So as I said, I think at least in the Ashkenazic world, we look at this minhag as something that's as long as there's cooperation of both sides, it can be done. It can be done either way. And I think many times it does happen if one of the spouses has a reason to specifically give a name and the other one doesn't. Like let's say a grandparent who was recently nifter and no one was named after, and the other one doesn't have any such family situation, then they'll give it a name. Certainly if one son of it's a parent, if one of the two members of the couple unfortunately lost the parent and then they had a child, it's very makubal that they'll name the child, if it's the right gender, that they'll name the child for the parent, even if technically the other one should have this, because that's a davar matzu ma'od. Okay, so that's but everything equal, if it's just a question of, instead of flipping a coin, it's by Ashkenazim would be the woman and then the mother and then the father, and by Sfaradim it's typically done the other way. Now, in terms of using a name of somebody who's still living, or either specifically giving the name in honor of that person, or not specifically, like giving the name after somebody else, but there's also a living relative. Let's say the two grandfathers both had the name Yitzchok, and one's living, one's not living. And the question of whether you can name a baby Yitzchok after the one who's deceased or not. So again, by the Sfaradim, it's davka done, right? But the Sfaradim, they davka did it. They consider it covered to give the baby the name of a living ancestors of the great, typically the grandparents. It's very, very common that by the Sfaradim that a baby boy will be named with the name of his father's father, or the mother's father. It's common. It's considered a covet. There are places that we see in Chazal or even in Pesukim that happened. Lemaisa amongst Ashkenazim is very strong minig not to do that. Very strong minig, and it's considered wrong. It's inappropriate, improper to give a name for someone's living, but even the other way, even if they're not giving a name for that person, they want a name after someone, a different grandfather, for example, just that the other grandfather who's living has that name. It's a strong minig amongst Ashkenazim not to do that. And even, now I'm not going to say nobody, says different on some of these details, but I'm going to share a couple of marmakoma soon, so Hashem, that even if it's just a part of a name, meaning even if they want to, name the baby only one part of the name that of the living living grandfather, for example, not to do that. First, I'll quote this Negros Moshe in Eben Ezra Chel Gimel Simin Chav Vav, where he's talking about, he writes the following, Bidvar Imtia Havlad Nekeva, he's writing to a certain couple, if the child that your wife is expecting, if it'll be a girl, V'hashemos the imo v'imo shavim b'shem HaKodesh, both the father's mother and the mother's mother are have the same name, and one of them was alive, one of them was not alive. So Ramosha says, "Yinei haminuk shelo likro lahanech the shemahu." The minuk would be not to give the girl, if she's a girl, not to give her the name of the deceased grandmother, because the other grandmother who's living has the same name. Umemela yesh baze iser. This is Ramosha's lashon. Tuhu neged kavod ha'em hachaya. Sha kavod hu mitzvah daraisa. Giving kavod is mitzvah daraisa. And since the minig in Ashkenazim, the minig is not to do it, so it's considered a lack of kavod to give a name if they're living. And the male, that'll be innocent daraisa. He says, Va'af labas nesua. B'dvarim ka'elu shaloshayich lishas baila. So I think what Ramesha means there is, let's say, normally we say if there's a question between a husband and a wife, a husband wants his wife to do something, and her mother has a different wants differently. Like this is a conflict of interest between a married woman's mother or father, for that matter, and her husband. So the din is, of course, we always want to work it out, and hopefully the husband will be able to be mivatei, etc. But if it comes, it's not shayach. It's either or. So a woman has more of a chrayis to her spouse, to her husband, than she does to her parents. So once she's married, she's b'shus bayil, and her mitzvah kibbutz of aim is somewhat modified, and she's more of a chiyuv to her husband. But this Ramosh says, so you might say, so let's say the husband's mother was nifteris, and the wife's mother's living. So the husband says, I want to name, we had a daughter, I want to name after my mother. I, it's your mother's name. Well, okay, but that's not, you know, I don't have a problem. It's your problem because, you know, giving a name to your mother, but you have to be mechabed me more than your mother. So I think that's where Moshe is saying, no, that doesn't apply here. Because it is the husband's business too. It is the husband's responsibility also not to give a name, not to do something like that, to give a name to his daughter, which is the same name of his mother-in-law who's living. So that Moshe writes, you should not do this. And...
Why is it his business?
Because it's... Well, his mother... There's definitely aim for his mother after she's in Nefteris, but it could be the kibud in a case, something like this, especially something which is... people feel very strongly about it, and it's become, like by Ashkenazim, become a very serious thing not to do it, almost as if you do it, it's like a davar muzar, that, you know, a lady will say, oh, you do it, what's her name? Your name is Chavit. You know, it's it would be like almost like a busha too. So I think it would be wrong for him to do it. To do that. So this is where Moshe writes in the tshuva. And besides in the tshuva, I heard from Shmuel first about a case. I think he told me it's like one of the early shalis he got when he became a rav, where there was a little tension in a family, the case was. I don't know if these are the exact names, but. There was a one grandfather's name who was no longer living. His name was, let's say, Yitzchak, and the other grandfather who was living was Yitzchak Dov. And there was a boy born, and so Rav Moshe said they should not use the name Yitzchak. He said it's a minig, it's a shtark, a minig not to do that, which is exactly in keeping with what he writes in the tshuva. Also, in the Sefer Tuvcha Yabiu from Rav Zilberstein, who was Rav Yashiv's son-in-law. In Parshas Bereishis, he brings there this same thing from Eliashiv. They said it's you should not use a name if there's a living, whether it's grandfather, the great grandfather, whatever it is, whatever dar is still alive. You shouldn't use the name, and even if that person is Meichel, even if that person says I'm okay with it, you know, let's say it's he'll be the great grandfather of the baby. It's not Meichel if the baby has the same name. So Eliashiv says you should not do that. And he says. He says it's wrong to be mochel. It's wrong. You should be makbid. He says osur lezalzel bikpedo samufersamos. He calls it a kpeda. Right? This is a kpeda. This is something we're makbid on, and you should not be mezalzel. You should not do such a thing. Then I saw in Rabbi Fran's sefer. Friend has a sefer called Haparsha Bahalach, and he, in Parsha Shmos, one of the things he talks about is names. So he quotes from a tshuva Maria Sad. Maria Sad in Yerodea Simin Reish Mem Zayin is talking about this. So he writes, Hakpadazu Shalo Likra al Shem Adam Chai, Eino Aser Min Adin, Elohu Minug, Lemisha Makpel Kach, it's a Minug, but Elishikayom, nowadays, Kula Makpidam Azeh. He's writing it, a couple hundred years ago. Kayom Kula Makpidam Azeh, Velochain Pashut Shein Lashanos. Maria Sad says, Pashut, you should not do anything differently. The Gamha Ishi Yechola La'akev, Milikrol Benabashem Avia Bechayim. The woman could object. The husband wants the name after his father, I guess, for example. And it's the same name as the lady's, the mother's father. She has a right to object, he says. Okay, I also saw a mice once brought in the sefer Kesser Shem Tov. I'm pretty sure I saw it. Interesting mice with the Nitziv, right? Going back not that long ago, right, to the late 1800s, early 1900s. Nitziv was the Reshiva Volozhin. He had a son-in-law whose name is Rabbi Fal Shapiro. Actually, he was married to two daughters. I think I mentioned this the other week. Also, he was married to two daughters in the Nitziv. You know, one was Nefteris, and he married the second one. Just to put it in historic perspective, one of his sons-in-law was Reb Chaim Brisker, famous Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, was a son-in-law of Reb Fal Shapiro. Anyway, so when Reb Fal Shapiro's his father wasn't living, was Nifter, and they had a baby boy, and he wanted to name the child after his father. What was his father's name? Aryeh Leib. So I don't know if he mentioned it to the Tziv or... maybe the Nitziv asked him, I don't know, but the Nitziv learned that he was planning her to name his son Aryeh Leib. So the Nitziv said, how could you name your son Aryeh Leib? Are you forgetting my name? What was the Nitziv's name? It says the Nitziv. So we know Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, but it was really Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Leib. That was his name. Naphtali Tzvi Yehuda Leib. So he said, how can you name your son Aryeh Leib? My name is, I have the name Leib, Naphtali Tzvi Yehuda Leib. So he objected. So he said to him, so Rabbi Shmuel Shapiro said to him, it's not the same name. He says, when there's Yehuda Leib and Aryeh Leib are two different things. When I say your name, Aryeh Leib is Leib, means there means lion. It's like Yiddish for lion. Aryeh Leib, you know, like a lot of Shoshana Reisel, a lot of, you know, his name is Zev Wolf. Dober, thank you, right. So he said, but by when it's not part of Aryeh, when it's like with Yehuda, it means, well, like Leib, I think, like Yehuda Leib, like beloved. Right. So your name is not Yehuda, beloved, Yehuda Leib. I want to name my son, I mean, pronounce it Leib, I want to name my son Aryeh Leib Lion. It's if they didn't buy it. That's actually. What is it?
Name's still a name.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, you know, some of you might have been to last year when Rabbi Zimmerman, who was just recently here, when he was here last year, he gave a shiur on names. Also, one of the shiurim he gave was on names. And I think he also said, I saw this mice in the Kesher Shem Tov. I think he also said of the mice, I'm pretty sure he said it may come out the same way with no ones, but okay, I'll kapan him, as I state. So there's a strong akpada, not to use a name. Now, I have heard some that are okay with it if it's by, you know, not if it's a parent, not to give the child the name of a, you know, of a living parent, but if there's a grandparent that has that name and they want to, I've heard some that said it was okay, but the mice we see from a number of Gedolei Yisrael, Rav Moshe and Rabbi Yashiv, you know, not to do it, and we see that Tziv was Makbid, and we see this Tshuva is Maria Sad, so Shtarka Makaris. Not to do that.
Well, what's the Rusha? For by Sfarim, it's like a cover to do that. But for us, we say, I mean, what is it, like a bad simon? Like it means that they're going to maybe...
Some say it's like that. It's almost like giving the name like, okay, you know, we've had enough of you. We can go on to the next, you know, whatever. Like, in a sense, right? That's what some bring. It's almost like saying that...
okay.
What's that? Like in our, or as I'm saying, you know, we're ready to move on already. You know, we've got a new, let's just being Aryeh Leib, because we've got a new Aryeh Leib. So, you know, that's, but I think the main idea is that once it became, in the shtar became, you know, ingrained in the minhag of Bnei Ashkenaz, so then it took, you know, took on a strong chashivas and, you know, not to, okay.
It seems either according to Moshe or Rabbi Yashav, if it's two names, let's just say Moshe Chaim, and they both have Moshe Chaim, and you're only going to call him Chaim, and the other one by Moshe, wouldn't make a nafgamina, even though you're, the name right. You're giving by Kriyas Shem is both names, but you're not going to call him that. It sounds like the Suav Akpara.
Yes.
Or even if the other one's called Chaim Moshe, and you're Moshe Chaim, the fact that Chaim is in one of the names, yes, whether it's the second or first name, yes, any iteration, as long as there's a name.
That was definitely what the Pesach, you know, first said of her Moshe. And that's what it seems that.
So the difference what you're calling is what the name is.
Right, right. Now it's interesting because now you're bringing this up. In some inyanim, we don't do it that way. I guess I'll skip to this. So many other things you have to just pick out which to talk about. So we know that there's the tzavos Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, right? He has a number of tzavos, things that he tells people to be makbid on, which are not halacha, but he says to be makbid on them, and usually he says there's Rahman San sakana involved if you don't, you know, if you don't follow. So one of them is that a man shouldn't marry a woman who has the same name as his mother, and for that matter, a girl shouldn't marry a man. A woman should marry a man the same name as her father. So that's a tzavaz reida chassid, and meant this whole. Maybe we'll talk about that once the whole sugya onto its own, but in that many go by what the person is actually called. Like Lamashal, if there are two names, and let's say the father-in-law has two names, he's called Yaakov Moshe, and the girl wants to marry a person named Yaakov. So as long as the father is called Yaakov Moshe, if he's called Yaakov Moshe. Or the other way, the boy's called Yaakov Moshe, the father's called Yaakov, then they'll be okay with it. I think, you know, Meister Shea with a Rav I know that his name is Binyamin Aaron, but people called him Binyamin. He was always called, but he called himself, you know, he didn't choose him as Binyamin. And then his Shalom's daughter, possibly, I don't know when they asked the Shalom, but in going out with him, marrying someone whose name was Binyamin. So Reb Chaim Kievsky said, it's okay if you become Binyamin, your name is Binyamin Aaron, so so use your name, Binyamin Aaron. No more Binyamin, Binyamin Aaron, and he's Binyamin. And that's what they did, and they got married. The couple got married. And a lot of people, it's that a lot of Poskim or, Poskim addressed, this a remotion of Tshuva, interestingly, in Ibn Ezra, the first Chelev Ibn Ezra, I think it's Siman Dalet. He says that even if there's any Shinoi at all, he doesn't seem to be concerned with what they call it. I think he says, even if there's a difference in the English names, is there any Shinoi at all, that's okay. You don't have to worry about Tzvash B'chassid. But many are more makbid that if they're called the same thing, not to if they want, if they, start calling either the parent or the child by a different name or by only one of the two names or both of the two names, then it would be okay. That's how many approach. So it's in contrast to this, to actually giving the name, you shouldn't actually give a name that has that even they have one of them. But over there they go more by what
if somebody
what they
names
call.
His child. Using his father name, and his father is alive, and they're both in a room. Can he call his child with his name?
That's a very interesting question. So the answer is no. In front of his father, he cannot. Which some say that's also give that as a reason not to give the name, of the father. Others discount that. No, it's easy enough to be careful. It's only in front of the father, right? Unless it's an unusual name. It's an unusual name. You're not supposed to do it. You're not in front of the father. But some taka give that as one of the reasons. But on this topic, on this like related thing, also, while there is an inyan, as we just discussed, in at least in the Ashkenazic minhagim, there's an inyan not to give a strong inyan not to give a name of someone who's living, but to give a name after a nifter when is no one living with that name is also very big inyan to dafka do that, right? It's a lot of chashivas to giving the name after a zayd or even a alta zayd or to call al shem mishpachosav is a very chashiva thing, very important thing, and rather than just picking a random name, there's a lot of chashivas to that, but there are certain cases when it's not done, or it's not, or the name should dafka not be given, or not be given exactly. For instance, there are two main cases. Let's say if Rahman's son, a person was died young. Young means before 60. Young for this. A person died before 60, or if a person died a misa mishuna, so then unless they died al-Kiddush Hashem. They died al-Kiddush Hashem, then it's fine, perfectly fine. But if it was not al-Kiddush Hashem, and they died a misa mishuna, or they died young, so there's an inyan not to give the name or not to give the exact name. Now, if it's a question of a child naming if there's his own parent, then already, even if they died young, they typically will. By misa mishuna, efshanish, a lot of different mahagim for anyone ever, was presented with the shiloh or discussing the shiloh maisa for someone, you should check into the details specifically. But there are different approaches to how to do this. I have a chaver in Chicago, Rabbi Tzvi Kamenetsky, who was a son of Rabbi Yaakov's oldest son. Rabbi Yaakov's oldest son was Rabbi Binyamin. Binyamin Kamenetsky is already not with us. But when he was born, Rabbi Yaakov had his first son, Rabbi Binyamin. So Binyamin was Rabbi Yaakov's father's name. But Rabbi Yaakov didn't know how old his father was when he was nifter. I guess he was separated from his father, and he didn't know. So he didn't want to give the exact name, so he made a shtickle shinui. He dropped the second yud. Instead of Beis Nun Yud Mem Yud Nun, which is the way it's sometimes spelled, he named his son Beis Nun Yud Mem Nun. Rabbi Yaakov was very much into dictating everything, so for him that was a shinui. And he said anyway, in the Tanakh, it's usually without a yud anyway, but he made that slight shinui to be Yotzei on the tzad that his father was nifter young. Like I said, some will say if you could give the same name, as you don't have to make any shinui there. But if it's after a grandparent or certainly a different family member, then they do dafka make a shinui. So, but the shinui could be even just using part of the name or one of the names. In fact, I asked that shout out to a first not long ago, within the last couple of years, where someone had a family had a daughter, and they wanted to name her after the mother had a sister who was nifteris young. And now that she had daughter, they wanted to name. So let's say the sister's name, I don't want to get this, let's say it was Chava Rachel. And they wanted to know if they could name the girl just Rachel. And And Lamaisa, the aunt who was Nefteris, was also called Rachel. And most people named, I'm just made up these names, most people didn't even know she had the name Chava. Her name, Arik Suva, was Chava Rachel. Her parents named her Chava Rachel, but everyone called her Rachel or Rachel, whatever. And they wanted to know, could they name the daughter Rachel? So at first said that was fine. You may, it's a Shino, it's fine. It doesn't make a difference to the fact that she was also called that. And the, for that, those things doesn't make a difference. You make it a Shino in the name, that's sufficient. Okay, so... So this inyan of not you know marrying somebody who has the exact name is something that as I said many are makpid on, and what happens is, so you see Ramesh in the tshuva there is against making a change in the name, because he says you're going to make it in the Hebrew name, because you make a change and then no one's really going to call him that. And then they're going to get married in a couple of months, and the ksuba, they're going to write this new name. And who is that? That's not the way anybody knows the person. It's going to be Shah Lakash's ksuba. So, but I think that tshuva was written many, many years ago. At that point, Rav Asher wrote that tshuva, Mistama people were using mostly English names in America. They weren't using the Hebrew names, so it wasn't popular yet to use Hebrew names. I mean, in terms of what they call people. So the ksuba is going to, you know, ksuba is going to say the only way they know the Hebrew name is based on the Mishaberach, so whatever it is. And now, and but since she changed her name, nobody called her. They continued to call her by her English name. So like nobody even knows that her name, her Hebrew name changed. Nowadays, where people... it's much more common that we use the Hebrew names. So if a person changes his name and he's makpid to tell people, you know, about the change, so then it will catch on. So even if they get married a month or two later, by that time it'll probably, you know, much more likely to have caught on and people will know the new name. So when they write the ksuba in the name, it won't be so so startling. So the mice, many people do that in order to you know, to have a shidduch go through. Okay. So let's talk about bechlal, since we're touching this idiom. If a person has two names, so are the two names, Avraham, Yitzchak, is Avraham, it's just two names, just happen to be glued together, or are they one name? And nafgamina l'mashal, l'gabi name, let's say you want a name, in a case where a person named Avraham Yitzchak, he was nifter, b'seva, tova, he had a good life, and he was nifter in old age, now you want a name after him. So, but if you don't name the baby Avraham Yitzchak, you name him just one of the two names, or you take one of the two names and add another name, is that anything? Did you name after the person, or did you not? I mean, do you have to give the exact name? Now, in certain cases, we said you dafka where there's an in to make a shina, so you make a shina. You can't give the exact name, or you dafka don't want to. But in a case where there's no reason not to, so should you be makbid dafka too? Or no, it's fine, whatever. You could say you want to name after two Zaydis. So it was Avram Yitzchak and there was Moshe Dov. So you name the baby Avram Dov. Is that great? Is that l'chad chila or is not? So there are chaluki deyos in this. The Chazon Ish is known to have held that, no, that two names together is like a new name. And if you take only a part of it, it's garnished. You didn't name after the person. Especially if you name after, like in my case here, Avram Yitzchak and Moshe Dov. You name Avram Dov. Now we have three people on the table here. We have two Niftarim, Avram Yitzchak, Moshe Dov, and we have a brand new name here called Avram Dov. No Shaychus, either one. That's what the Chazon Ish held. But many hold not like that. Many hold that there's each name... you know, is a chashivas to it, and if you take part of the name, so you did name, you did tap into that, whatever you accomplish by naming after a person. That's done. Now, I should say, part of it has to do with what people care about, meaning to say, part of the reason and part of the accomplishment of naming after a grandparent, for example, is a covet to the living, to your parent. If you're naming after your father's parent or your mother's parent, so it's a cover to your father, cover to your mother, that you're using their parent is chashuv to you, that you want to perpetuate the name, and you want to give your child their name because you had chashivas for their parent. So if in the eyes of the parent, by giving only half the name, you didn't name after them, so then that's a strong reason not to do that. Whereas if they're fine with it, then it's much, you know, much less of a reason. What I mean to say is, even if we'll go not like the Chazon Ish, and we'll say, no, you gave half the name, that's also something that is worth something, and it does have a chashivas of naming after. But if the parent who's living, whose father or his mother was, doesn't feel that way, especially if you picked one of the names that he wasn't even called by, nobody even knew him, you know, it was his second name, nobody even knew he had the name, or maybe it was his first name and nobody knew it, and they only knew him by the other name. And so they're going to look at it like you didn't name after their parent, then you didn't accomplish half of what you could have. Maybe you accomplished something, but you disappointed your parent. So that's l'chora a very, very strong consideration and a reason to, you know, to stick to the name. When pasul solechatchila, if you could stick to the exact name after one person, we advise doing that. When there's reasons not to do it, and for whatever, there could be a host of reasons, and that's why a lot of times when people have a baby, they consult with a rav, with example, you know, to know, to help them choose a name, or even though the name ultimately that they decide, they choose, is they're mechavan to the kisei kavod, like we started with, but that doesn't mean that they can't get assistance from, you know, somebody you know, more knowledge or experience, and not nogei b'davar. That's a lot of a part of it also. So that's one of the another thing which this Rabbi Zimmerman spoke about when he was here is we know there's a minhag that a person mentions psukim that correspond to his name at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, right before you finish Shemoneh Esrei, before you say Yidrasan, you say psukim that either a pasuk that begins and ends with the same letters that your name begins and ends, or a pasuk that contains your name. And there's an inspired thing from the Shlach Kadosh, because it says when a person comes up to Shemayim, he has to state his name, and it says it's not a good thing if he's unable to give his name. But there's such a pachad in the before the kisei kavod that a person could easily forget. So if you attach it to Divrei Torah einam nishkachim, you attach it to Dvar Torah, so you remember the pasuk and you get your name that way. So the shailas of a person has two names. Does he do two psukim? Let's say Avraham Yitzchak. Does he do a pasuk that starts with Aleph ends with Mem and another one Yud and Kuf? Or does he do one pasuk that starts with Aleph and ends with Kuf? Is it Avraham Yitzchak is his name? Or is it Avraham Yitzchak? So as he mentioned a lot of a discussion about this, Rabbi Zimmerman. It's interesting if this sparked your interest at all, maybe you can go back to the Kol's recordings and find the shir here. He spoke a lot of the points which I didn't speak about now. But I think he said ultimately, one of the things he said, because they asked Ruchaim Kineski this Shaila, what he does, he has three names, right? Shmaryo Yosef Chaim. And by the way, it's brought that when they were, you know, doing the shidduch, he married Rabbi Yashiv's daughter. Rabbi Yashiv's name was Yosef Shalom, and Chaim's name was Shmaryo Yosef Chaim. So they say the Chazirin said, don't tell his shir there what his full name is. Like, don't let Rabbi. It's fine. Just don't let Rabbi Yashiv know. That's the birth. That's Al Kopanim. We're not saying. I have a daughter-in-law who has my wife also has three names, and I have a daughter-in-law whose first name is one of my wife's three names, who no one would ever know it's my wife. It's my wife's middle name. Everybody calls it by her last name, and if it punk happens, no first name, but nobody knows her second name. So nobody. Well, now you do if you know my daughter-in-law's name. But anyway, so what I was saying is that. So Reb Chaim said that he's mesupik about this, so he does both. He does a pasuk for Shmayahu, a pasuk for Yosef, a pasuk for Chaim, and then a pasuk that starts with Shin and ends with Mem. So he did four pasukim at the end of Shemoneh Esrei to cover all his bases. That's what I think he said. I think the more common way, I think, is just to do, you have two names, you do two pasukim. That's what I do. I mean, whatever that's worth. I have two names, and I do a pasuk, Aleph Mem, Ephraim, and Leib, Lam and Beis. I do, just to attend with one thing. When he spoke about that, I forget exactly the Nakuda he said, but at the time, Rabbi Provalsky, Zelig Provalsky, mentioned that he couldn't find a pasuk with Zayin Gimel for Zelig. And so he had somebody ask Reb Chaim, so he gave him a pasuk from Bereishis, which doesn't have any Zelig altogether, but it says something like it. I think the pasuk is Zeli as from Shana, you know, Zeli, like Zelig. And I was so happy when I heard that. I'll tell you why, because my daughter's name is Sima, and we spell it the way it's spelled in the Targum in a number of places. Sima means a treasure. Samach Yud Mem Aleph. And there it's still, sometimes they spell it out with a hey, but Samach Yud Mem Aleph is the way it's spelled. There's no pasuk Samach Aleph, that at least according to the list. So I told my daughter years ago she should say the pasuk of Va'ata Kisu Lachem Asashira Zos V'Lamdes Bnei Yisrael Sima B'Fihem. Sima, that's her name. Sima, it's spelled totally different. Samach Sin, but that's what I told her to do. And when I heard Rav Chaim told him to Zeli for Zelig, I was thrilled that it was a Mechav L'Das Gadol. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Finding
the right
to win
the farm. I think two grandpa's coming out of the farm.